Well, good morning. I hope that you are having a wonderful Sunday. This is First Baptist Church, Sun City West, and we are excited on our online audience as we continue to pause in our physical plant. We just want to do that for the health of our folks, and we are praying that God will allow us to enjoy this time of worship at some point in the future with people right here. But today, you are the audience. You are the audience that is going to focus the attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, and I hope that you will pray, that as this service continues on, that God will speak to you, and the presence of God would be felt right there in your living room, however you're watching, and that He would spur you to walk with Him in a more deeply way, especially in this time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for our time together. It is a pleasure to work with all of these musicians and the technical folks to be able to put something together that, Father, will honor you and give you the praise and glory. Wherever the folks are, as they're watching, as they're listening, God, that is a sanctuary. That is a place that they have gathered together to be inspired, encouraged, to join in the songs. Father, to hear your word preached and to allow your spirit to speak boldly. And I pray today that, Father, we will put everything else aside, whatever worries or fears or doubts we might have, and we'll concentrate upon you, your perfection, and you as creator, because you created us for fellowship. And today, we're going to fellowship together in worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's worship together.
Lovely on the mountains or the feet of Him who brings good news, good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns, 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 our God reigns. He had no stately form, He had no majesty that we should be drawn to Him. He was despised, and we took no account of Him, yet now He reigns with the Most High. Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives each day what He deems best as best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his childhood treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand, one by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who and glory be unto your name. Be unto your
Ladies, thank you so much. What a beautiful rendition. You know, I love duets. I love them in song with words, and I love instrumental. Thank you so much. Ray Jean, thank you for such a beautiful, special words, so meaningful. We appreciate that. We have worship today, and we're going to continue. If you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Habakkuk is one of those books that's in the Old Testament. Some of the minor prophets, so if you go back that direction, or if you just go into the table of contents, that's what it's there for, and look it up, that would be great. Or you could just see it on the screen, if you will. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 18 and 19. Though the fig trees do not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. That is such a powerful passage. The conclusion of the prophet Habakkuk's book, that which gives us great insight into a very difficult time. I wonder if you might join me into a time of prayer. We continue this series of hope. The world's not falling apart. It is actually coming right together, falling in place. It's hard to believe that in this pandemic, but let me tell you, God has it all in hand. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to worship you. And Father, we have worshiped today. In our homes, whenever we're viewing this on our computers or iPads, Father, this is a time of celebration. Even though it seems like it's a very difficult time, you have not changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can trust you with everything. In the midst of pandemics, as well as those times of celebration and joy. And so, God, as you never change, our faith should never change. And help us understand that as we look at this passage in the book of Habakkuk. Hope for uncertain times. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I saw a bumper sticker. It said this, life is tough, then you die. That's a kind of a dismal view of life, isn't it? And yet, it's not so far off of what one of Job's friends voiced in Job 14:1 when he said, man born of woman lives but few days, and they are full of trouble. Well, that's just enough truth, isn't it? Just enough truth to distress us. But let me tell you, trouble is no gate crasher into the arena of our lives. It has a reserved seat right there. Heartache has a pass to every single home. It is a time that is most difficult right now. But I'll tell you, when trouble comes to the wicked, we can take a step back and say, well, you know what? I think I can understand that because they deserve that. But when it comes to us or people that we know that we would classify as innocent, well, then it's a different matter. So how do we react in tragic and uncertain times? I believe that there are four attitudes that a person can take in the midst of trouble and uncertainty like we're facing right now. Four attitudes toward trouble. First, we can become cynical, skeptical, and unbelieving. We can allow those times of uncertainty to shake our faith in God. Arthur John Gossip, in the midst of a personal crisis, said this, some people, when belief comes hard, flings away their Christian faith altogether. But in heaven's name, fling it away for what? You walk away from your faith because there are troubles that come in your life or in our world. Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust the stock market? Are you going to trust a government? Are you going to trust your intellect? Are you going to trust, well, who are you going to trust? For me, I look at life knowing that as we go through life, there are going to be lots of difficulties and trouble. And we've faced them, but the trust and the faith never fails because the Creator of all things is with us every single day. But there are people that will become cynical and skeptical and unbelieving. Though we don't understand why many troubles and uncertainties come, discarding our faith is not the answer. It's not the way that we ought to embrace. I go back to the disciples. We should be more like them, I believe. If you remember, there were many disciples, or followers, I should say, that were falling away from Jesus. And why? Because of his difficult teaching of what it was going to take to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The scriptures in John chapter 6, verses 67 and 68 says, will you also go? Jesus talking to the disciples. And they said this, Lord, where else shall we go? You're the one who has the words of life. That should tell us that no matter what happens and how difficult the way is, whether it was Jesus talking about how difficult it would be to be a disciple throughout your life, or the uncertainties that come your way in life, who else can we trust? We can trust the Creator. Let me tell you, though things happen that make it hard to continue to believe in God or look and see, I don't understand this. We have no other option but to believe in Him and not the world. Because quite frankly, in our world, it's either swim with Jesus or drowned with despair, because there's no one else with a life preserver. A second way that we can look at the most uncertain times, difficulties in our life, is we can demand total intellectual understanding. We can refuse to be satisfied until we know all the answers for all of the problems of life. This is the way that those who think analytically have a difficulty with. They want to make sure that through logic, every single thing is logical in process. The problem is, no matter how great their intellect, how high their IQ, how much training they have, and that includes all of us, we cannot think the way God thinks. In the midst of suffering and loss, Job's three friends came supposedly to comfort him and encourage him. But the fact is that their real interest was an intellectual one. They wanted to understand with their minds what has happened to Job. And so they turned his tragedies into riddles to be solved by reasoning and went to great lengths analyzing and speculizing and theorizing. They wanted to understand with their mind cognitively. Well, Job was not satisfied with the explanation of his friends. But by this time, he was caught up in the game of seeking an explanation. Why has this great tragedy happened to me? He lost everything. You know the story of Job. Well, he took it to the ultimate point. He crashed right into the presence of God Himself. And he demanded an explanation. Why did these things happen? Have you ever wondered why? Why these things happen? Things don't add up in your mind? Well, let me tell you, God did not comply with Job's demands for the simple reason that Job's capacities to understand were unequal with the issues at the present time. Explaining fully to Job would be like trying to explain, though things happen that make it hard to continue to believe in God, we have no other option but to believe in Him, because in this world, it's either swim with Jesus or it's drowned in despair. The second way that people look at the difficulties and uncertainty in life is we can refuse to be satisfied until we know all the answers for all the problems of life. The people that have an analytical mind have the greatest difficulty with this, because they want everything to logically fall into place. They want an explanation for every single step. And in life, we can't have that, because creation is far above our intellect. In the midst of his suffering and loss, Job, his three friends, supposedly came to comfort him, to encourage him. But in fact, their real interest was an intellectual one. They wanted to understand with their minds all the things that happened to Job and why they happened. In fact, they turned his tragedies into riddles to be solved by reasoning and went to great lengths analyzing, speculating, and theorizing them. Job was not satisfied with his friends' answers. But by this time, Job, he was caught up in that game of wanting an explanation. And you've probably done that. You probably asked the question, why? Why is this happening? Well, Job wanted that. In fact, he took it to the ultimate point. He crashed right into the presence of God Himself, and he demanded an explanation for why things had happened as they had. God did not comply with Job's demands for the simple reason that Job's capacity to understand were unequal with the issues in question. Explaining fully to Job would be like trying to explain Newtonian physics to a blue crab. The capacity for human understanding is simply not equal to the greatness of God. We do not have that kind of capacity. Now, even if we were running at 100% of our brain, which we only use about 10%, but if we were 100%, we would be nowhere near understanding the questions of the universe, especially the Creator. The third way that we could ask and answer the uncertainties and the trouble of life is that we can embrace unquestioning resignation. We can take the idea of que sera, sera, whatever will be, we be. We can't change it. We're not to question it. We're just to accept it. We're just to sit back almost as a fatalist and say, well, this is my lot in life. This is what I'm going to have to deal with, and I don't need to question that. Some people even have the idea that we don't ever have the right to question God, and I fully disagree with that. There are a lot of illnesses that I think I'd like some answers to. There are a lot of things in life, a lot of graves that have been dug during this time of pandemic that I would like to figure out what's going on. In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, there were many prophets that came to a place of frustration, that came to a place of depression, and they would ask God why. Well, God didn't strike them dead. He answered the question. On the cross, Jesus himself cried out, my God, why? I think we have the ability to question. And at the same time, our fourth response, and the one that I would take myself, is that we can demonstrate complete faith. We can ask the questions without an unwavering faith that if we don't get the answer, that you know what, we're okay. We're going to trust God regardless. You see, faith is believing in God even when you don't understand something that's happened. It is continuing to trust God although there appears to be no justice in the world. Faith is relying on Him even when He is silent and His presence seems so far away. We still trust. That kind of faith and hope was expressed by Habakkuk in the scripture we read earlier, but I want to read it again because I want you to hear it in this context. When the fig trees do not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, when the olive trees do not produce, and the fields yield no crops, when the sheep disappear from the pen, and there are no cattle in the stalls, I will rejoice because of the Lord. I will be happy because of the God who delivers me. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He gives me the agility of a deer. He enables me to negotiate the rugged terrain. In some sense, Habakkuk was dealing with the nation of Israel, what Job was dealing with in his personal life. The prophet Habakkuk lived in times that were hard on faith and hope. All around him, he saw injustice. He saw that the wicked were prospering and the righteous were in the midst of poverty and injustice. He cried to God for justice, but God said nothing and he did nothing. Habakkuk concluded that God was either insensitive to the needs of his people or he was inadequate to do anything about those needs. And after 10 days, 10 long days in the life of Habakkuk, God spoke to him and he told him what he was going to do. He was about to do a work that Habakkuk would not believe even when he was told about it. He told Habakkuk that he was going to rise up the Chaldeans and he was going to use them as instruments of judgment against the nation of Israel. Habakkuk was astonished. Quite frankly, if I'd have been a prophet in that day, I would be astonished as well. The Chaldeans were worse than the evil people that Habakkuk was complaining about. It was a hard time. In Habakkuk's mind, I'm sure as it would be in mine, how in the world could God use such a brutal, wicked people to bring about his justice? Now, God finally had Habakkuk's attention. Habakkuk was listening, hearing, and God revealed that he was working out his plan in the world. And he revealed to Habakkuk that his plan was right on schedule. And he said to Habakkuk, if you will wait patiently, you will find out that God does not lie. After that comes the statement from God that one day would be the watchword for the Reformation. The just shall live by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. The Lord told Habakkuk in essence, you must keep trusting me. You must keep believing in my justice, even when you cannot see my ways, you cannot see my hand, and you cannot hear my voice. You must continue to trust. Habakkuk, you must live by faith. That's when Habakkuk gave his great confession of undaunting faith and hope. He declared that though no figs grow on the trees and no grapes on the vine, no olives in the orchard, no grain in the field, no reproduction of the flocks, no cattle in the stalls, though everything he trusted in and relied upon, everything failed, he would keep trusting God. It's a powerful statement for the prophet of God, because what he saw and what he knew was coming, all of it was depressive. But he said, no matter what, I'm going to live by faith. He would allow no affliction, no tragedy, no event like we're dealing with now to sever him from his faith and his hope. He was convinced that though God's ways are beyond his understanding and God's timing is beyond his understanding, he would still trust the Lord because the Lord was the one who would strengthen him and sustain him no matter what. Well, how does that relate to us today? If Habakkuk were writing today, he would say, though the pandemic is doing collateral damage around the world, though the stock market is unstable, the economy in our country is falling, even though oil prices plummet, even though unemployment rates are at record levels, even though there are other illnesses that are taking control, even though the national debt explodes, our retirement begins to fade, even though the enemy attacks, and even though my friends betray me, even in the midst of those things, I will trust the Lord. Now you take that, and you have to process it. Is that what you would really say? Or would you be fearful, afraid, in doubt? The response that we need to make in the midst of difficult, depressive times is not to fling away our faith. It's to dig in and say, you know what? I trust God and His ways over everything else because He's going to see me through. You see, we need this kind of faith and hope for the trials and the uncertainties of life, what's going on right now. We need the kind of confidence in God that keeps us believing and trusting in Him in the spite of our adversaries, our circumstances. We need to be sure and so sure of God that no matter how dark the days are, no matter how gloomy the night is, we are going to trust and have confidence in the Creator God that we follow. That kind of faith of hope is not easy to come by. It is not an inheritance. It is an achievement. It's something that we struggle to have. And I know that many of you are struggling now with that. All of us do. We all have to struggle through that process and hold on to that faith and hope no matter what comes. So how do we keep this faith and hope in times of trials and troubles and uncertainty? In other words, in times like right now. Well, understanding three things helped keep Habakkuk believing. I think knowing these three things will help us to keep our faith and hope in this difficult time. I think we need to trust God's thoughts. That's the very first thing. We need to hold on to our faith and hope. That is to trust the thoughts of God. In Isaiah 55, 9, the Lord said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's an interesting word there, thoughts. It refers to more than an intellectual, cognitive process. It actually references intentions and purposes and ways. And they focus upon God, His intentions, His purposes, and His ways. They are far above ours. Habakkuk had a hard time understanding the ways of God in his day because he didn't see what God was doing. But he determined, regardless, to trust God. And we've got to do the same. Our problem is that we look at life at a street level. We look at one event at a time. The Lord looks at things from above. He sees all things from the very beginning to the very end. He has it all in place. It's His plan. And He may accomplish His plan in ways that we kind of wonder about. But you know what? Our thoughts aren't His thoughts. He sees things we don't see because what we see is only the present. It's like taking a snapshot of one event instead of watching the entire movie. We are victims of street-level watching. We have tunnel vision. We must learn to trust the thoughts and the plans of God even when we cannot see the end of them because we put trust in Him. Not only must we trust the thoughts of God and understand that God's thoughts are above our thoughts, but also His timing is different than our timing. So if we're going to keep believing during the hard and uncertain times like now, we must also learn about the timing and to trust the timing of God. God was not acting fast enough for Habakkuk, and it shook his faith. Habakkuk had this idea that, God, You ought to come and bring justice right now. And that's probably where we are, most of us. That God should work on our time schedule, not in His eternal time schedule. Habakkuk learned what we must learn today, that God has His own timetable. He has already set time for judgment, and He would surely do what He is determined to do at His time. We must remember that God doesn't measure time like we measure time. When the children of Israel traveled from Egypt to the Promised Land, it took them 40 years. That's half a lifetime. But you see, God doesn't measure time in our way. We look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Peter tells us, "Do not let this one thing escape your notice, that a single day is like 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years are like a single day." 1,000 years equal one day. If we put it in an analytical form, then the 40 years the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness was 1 hour. So by God's standards, Israel really wasn't in the wilderness that long. We operate here in Arizona either on Pacific Standard Time or Mountain Standard Time. Let me tell you, God operates on eternal standard time, and we must learn to trust His timing. Last, we must learn God's techniques. Trust God's thoughts, trust God's timing, and trust God's techniques. Habakkuk determined that although everything else failed, he would continue to trust God in the midst of what seems to be an utter disaster in Israel. He would keep trusting God because he said in Habakkuk 3:19, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He gives me the agility of a deer and enables me to negotiate the rugged terrain." The mountain climbing deer mentioned in this text was known for strong, steady feet. Habakkuk believed that God would make his feet strong and steady through what was about to happen to Israel. And he would keep him on his feet in the midst of the rugged and uncertain environment that Habakkuk was about to walk through. Friends, that's what we need to do. We need to trust that God is the source of our strength. And no matter how rugged the environment, how difficult the time is, that we will continue on and trust the one who is our Creator, who is our God. The most often used technique of God? No, that's it. He may not tell us in advance what's going to happen, although he did with Habakkuk, and it wasn't good news. But he also told him, at the end, it's going to be okay. He may not tell us everything that's going on right now, but the book, the scripture, tells us in the end, it's going to be okay. God does not shield us from trials and adversaries. He doesn't try to pave the way against the adversities and the troubles of life. But he strengthens us in our trials. Nowhere, to my knowledge, does God ever promise exemption from trouble or explanations for all of our trials and troubles and uncertainties of life. He only promises to keep us on our feet no matter what happens. God's people receive no favored treatment in life, and that's hard for believers because we would think that as a believer, we ought to be favored more than anyone. But the reality is that we live in a world that's full of sin, and trouble comes at us from every direction. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trials and temptations. Do not be discouraged. He acknowledged it. You think about the Apostle Paul. The apostle of the Lord, he was persecuted, a reflection of back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. He was persecuted and he was imprisoned with the dregs of society. Everyone deserted him. In fact, that scripture goes on to say that he stood alone before the Roman court, alone. But he said, but the Lord stood with me. There was nobody else to stand with Paul in the midst of his trial. But the Lord himself. I think that's pretty good odds, don't you? Listen, no matter if we lose everything, the Lord is always, always with us in our trials. When all is failed, we can be sure the Lord is going to stand with us. He's going to strengthen us. And that is the promise. I have a friend by the name of Sue Lawson. Sue was traveling to a conference a number of years ago to sing, and she had to fly by standby, but she was singing at a woman's conference that evening. It was a pretty full flight, but not completely full, and they began calling the standby individuals. One after another, her name was not one of them, and she was saying, God, really? You know I need to be at this conference. It's important. And all of a sudden, the last one that was called on standby was Sue Lawson. Well, she got on the plane and she found the one seat that was left. And she said, God, why did you wait so long? And God spoke to her, Sue, how many seats did you need? Listen, God has his plan. We need to trust. We need to trust him across the board. We need to be able to say, no matter what the circumstance we find ourselves in, that God will take care of us. Listen, no matter what happens, keep trusting God. Learn to trust his thoughts, his timing, and his techniques. By faith, just focus and say, the just shall live by faith. The Lord will be my source of strength no matter what life throws at me. Even to the point of death, I'm going to trust the Lord. Listen, you trust God for your salvation. Most of you who are listening, didn't you do that? You trust him for your eternal life. Don't you think that you can trust him for strength to get through anything, especially this pandemic, and any other thing that may be out in the future? We trust him with our eternal soul. We might as well trust him with life right here. He will sustain you no matter what kind of hurt or uncertainty that you find yourself in. So I'm going to ask you to trust him today. He's our hope for uncertain times. These are uncertain times, but he's our hope. This morning in our invitation, I'm inviting you wherever you are and on your computer, in your home, I'm asking you as a believer in Jesus Christ to trust him no matter what. to get into the Word, to understand, have that intimate relationship with God so that no matter what happens in your life, you are not shaken. But you say, what? God's ways are higher than mine. I'm going to trust the source, God. And I'm asking you to commit yourself to do that this morning. And this morning, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. And all you have to do is just ask Jesus to come in your heart. Very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you paid for my sins. I repent of my sins. I confess them. And I'm asking you to come into my heart and my life and save me. That's simple prayer in a genuine attitude, the Bible says, will bring salvation to your life. If you do that, I'd like for you to email me. Email information will be on our screens, on our website. But let me know so that I can connect with you. It's so important. As we pray today, I'm going to leave you with this. The just, those who are righteous, upstanding, the just will live by faith. Father, as we move forward through this series on hope, we see Job and how he came through the process of difficulty, questioning, and ending with hope. No matter if the Lord take my life, I will trust in him. And we see Habakkuk, seeing injustice everywhere, seeing what was about to happen. But even in the midst of the potential of Israel losing everything, that he said, I will trust the Lord. And I pray we will do that as well in this time, in the circumstances we are in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.